All right. Good morning. And time for another devotion here that I believe will be a blessing to you. I hope it is. I trust it will be. Yesterday we talked about Israel, and we talked about their rebellion to go into the land. That they, you know, they saw the giants and they ran. They would not fight the giants. And I'll tell you something, in our lives, if we run from a giant, it only gets bigger. It doesn't get smaller. Giant problems and giant things in our lives, they don't get smaller, they get bigger. So we have to tackle and face those giants first, like Caleb did. We'll talk about that more maybe later on down the road when we talk about Caleb and the giants. But just for a short devotion here, if you want to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 2, there, you know, there's an interesting thing that happened here that illustrates the promise of God is bigger than the giants. And very important principle. I don't suppose too many people will be on this early, but that's okay. They can watch it later, but that's why it's on there. So to be a blessing to you. Listen, here we go here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 4. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Zaire, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Zaire unto Esau for possession. Now check this out. God said, you know what? You can't even go through there and take their land. I'm not going to allow you to have their land, because I already promised them. So you see, God's promises are greater than anything else. God's promises are bigger than you and I. They're bigger than any obstacles that you and I might face. They're bigger than anything in this life. God's promises are huge. They are way bigger than any giant you'll ever face in your life. And that's why we can have faith and trust in God. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, they didn't trust in God. So they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and not claiming the promise. The promise was already there. Now check this out. Watch this. You're going to find some interesting things in this chapter. I'm not going to try to keep you too long here, but I want to read these to you. He says that you shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands, and he, knowing thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years, the Lord God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Zaire, through the way of the plain from Elath, even from Ezengaber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for possession. Now check this out. He said, I gave them Ar for a possession. You can't take that from them. You keep going. He's your brother. You keep traveling through and you keep going. Okay, but check this out. The Emims dwelt there in times past, a great people and many and tall as the Anakims. These are giants. But God said to Moab, I have given Moab this land, and it's theirs. And it doesn't matter who's there, it's still theirs. So he said, so God already promised Moab, you know what? This is your land, so no giant is going to be able to conquer you. You will take the land. It will be yours. Wait a minute. So here's the Moabites, not the Israelites, but the Moabites, because of the promise of God, are taking the land. Do you see the principle here? God's promises are greater than any giants in your life. They're greater than any of the giants. Check this out. When also were counted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Zaire before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did in the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. So all these giants were in the land of Moab, but what did they do? They were able to destroy them. Why? Because of their great army and because they were great people and because they were good and righteous and holy people? No. Because they were promised of God. See, they were promised of God victory. And they just went and dwelt in the land because they trusted God. They knew, hey, listen, God gave us this land. We're going to go. we've already been promised this land. They didn't even know, probably, some of them, what they were doing. But the giants were still destroyed. You see how that works? Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zerod. And we went over the brook Zerod. So they came into Kadesh Barnea. And then in verse 15 it says, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So what happened? The war wasted. 38 years Israel wandered around the wilderness because of their disobedience. Wandered around. Not claiming the promise. Because of unbelief. You see that? Because of a lack of faith in the promises of God. You know, giants become way bigger in your life when you have a lack of faith in God. The promise is bigger than any giant. But when you have a lack of faith in God, when you do not trust the Lord, then guess what? Those giants look bigger than the promises of God. They're not, but they look bigger because of our disobedience and because of our lack of faith. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give you thee of the land of the children of Ammon, and any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for possession. Now check this out. So you're saying, oh yeah, well see, he gave it to Lot's children, and there must not have been any giants there. No, wrong. Check it out. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumims, a great people, and many and tall as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So God destroyed the giants. God destroyed them for them. For who? Is this the Israelites we're talking about? The chosen people? No, friend, it's not the chosen people. These are the people that were promised this land. And God said, I don't care what giants are there. They're not going to stop you from doing the will of God. Listen, friend, let me tell you something. No giant in this world, I don't care what giant it is, will stop you from doing the will of God. Because when you have the promise of God, no giant can stop you from doing the will of God. No giant problem, no giant catastrophe, no giant devil, no giant kingdom of Satan, none of it. When you rest in the promises of God, when you by faith exercise that faith, then guess what? The giants aren't going to win. You just have to get up and fight. I don't care what it is. It might be cancer. It might be anything in your life right now, friend. You've got to fight with the power of faith. You've got to fight by faith. You've got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That's what it says. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Believe the promises of God because they are bigger than any giant you'll ever face in your life. Any giant. I don't care what it is. Okay, so, and the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Aza. The Caphratims, which came forth out of Caphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into the hand Zion, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land began to possess it and contend with him in battle. Go fight, I've already given you the victory, just like he told them 38 years before that. 40 years before that, he said, listen, go up there and take the land. What'd they do? No, giants are bigger than the promise, God. The giants are bigger than the problem, than the promise, God. We can't go up there and fight. We can't go up there. Remember what they said in Deuteronomy chapter 1? Man, we can't go up there. Are you kidding me? Those giants are big. Look at what he said. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. You know, it's funny because when you read in Joshua, Rahab says that the fear and dread was there years ago when they heard you left Egypt. Those nations were already afraid. Why? Because God had already showed his power among that nation. But they didn't believe the promises of God. How about Zion? And how about Og, king of Bashan? They were the same. God destroyed Og, king of Bashan before them and gave them their land too. Why? He was a giant, great and tall, mighty giant. You know? But God already gave the victory. So the lesson, I guess, in this story is you have the kings of Ammon. you have the king of Ammon, or you have the people of Ammon, who were the sons of Lot. Giants couldn't stop them. They got the land. You've got the Moabites. Giants couldn't stop them. They had the land. All these different sects of giants could not stop the people. Why? Because they had a promise from God. Okay, now, let's liken that to our lives today. You have a promise of God. God promises you, if you're saved, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will go with you through the fire, right? He is the fourth man in the fire. He is there with you no matter what trial you're going through, what tribulation you're going through, what heartache, what pain, what suffering, what denial, what betrayal, whatever it is. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with thee. When thou passest through the fire, I will be there. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the promise of God, friend. Now, either you believe the promises of God are bigger than the giants, or the giants are bigger than the promises of God. Hey, and if you're lost here and you come across this teaching, let me tell you something. If you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, let me say this to you. By the grace of God, let me say the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You have a sin problem, and for your sin, you deserve to die. For the wages of sin is death. And God says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you're under your own sin, if you're going to pay for your own sin, you're going to pay for it in the lake of fire for all of eternity. But I got good news for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he defeated death. That's why the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The child of God need not fear death. If you're not saved, you should fear death and be all your lifetime subject to bondage, because you are a sinner and you're guilty before God, and you're going to stand before God and the books are going to be opened. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. So if you're not saved, you need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's right, it's confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess that he is right about you, that you're a guilty, wicked sinner on your way to hell, and you deserve hell. But Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you want him to pay the atonement for your sins as only he can. And he will save you and forgive you if you put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. And you know what? Then you'll see that the promises of God are bigger than the giants. And if you are saved, listen, you rest in that hope. You don't fight this good fight every day by your own power and your own strength. No. It's resting and trusting in the promises of God, and that's what defeats the giants. We just have to get up every morning, every day, renewed by the grace of God, and get up and fight the good fight of faith. Have a good day.